The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Yusech-Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month we will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. My guests today are Craig Hayward and Catherine Rubin. Welcome, Craig and Catherine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are delighted that you can join us to provide and share information about you and the work you do at North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services, known as ABLES, or ABLS. So, Catherine and Craig are here with me today. And here are some very interesting things about today's guests. Catherine Rubin is the director of the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services. Catherine was assistant regional librarian at the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services from 2008 to 2022. Before that, she was at the Maryland Library for the Blind and Print Disabled in Baltimore, Maryland. She also served as the librarian at the North Carolina Department of Labor Library. She received her BA in English at Hollins University in Roanoke, Virginia, and her master's in Information and Library Science at UNC Chapel Hill. Catherine also has a strong background in providing programs to people who are visually impaired, and in doing so, she has often partnered with other institutions. For instance, in North Carolina, she has worked with institutions such as Division of Services for the Blind, Governor Moorhead School, North Carolina Humanities, and the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. She also started book discussion groups for library patrons based in the Raleigh and Charlotte areas. She enjoys reading.
Understatement. Librarians.
And traveling in her spare time. She and her husband have a black lab named Mojo. And now let's meet Craig Hayward. He has been the Systems Digital Service Librarian for the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services for the last 15 years. Prior to this, he was a reference and technology librarian at Mount Lebanon Public Library in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for many years. Before becoming a librarian, he worked in video and audio production in Baltimore, Maryland, and for Industrial Engineering Company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In his current role, he oversees the library's patron and book database management system, website, and all other library technology. He provides patron support for downloading books and navigating the library's online catalog. Before becoming a librarian, he worked in video and audio production in Baltimore, Maryland, and for an industrial engineering company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In his current role, he oversees the library's patron and book database management system, website, and all other library technology. He provides patron support for downloading books and navigating the library's online catalog. Craig consults with state agencies and libraries across North Carolina on assistive technology and website accessibility. He serves on local, state, and national library committees and task forces. He is past president of the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, and has been a member of the National Reading Technology Advisory Group for NLS. He holds a Bachelor of Arts in Communication from McDaniel College in Maryland and a Master of Library and Information Science from the University of Pittsburgh. When he's not imagining new ways to use modern technology to help patrons with visual impairments and reading disabilities find more books to read, he enjoys running 5Ks, the outdoors, cooking and baking adventures, and the performing arts. He lives in Durham with his wife, daughter, son, and two cats. So let me start with you, Catherine, and let me say, as director, which areas of the library do you oversee?
Well, really all of the areas.
Which ones don't you?
Excuse me. For example, there's one that section that mails out books to the library patrons throughout the state. There's a customer services area that answers phone calls from library patrons and the public, and it takes care of patron applications and records. There's another department that adds new books to our collections and catalogs them, and one that handles the volunteers in our recording studio and promotes our services throughout the state. And then, of course, there's Craig's area, which he'll tell you about.
Okay. Nice segue, Catherine. So, Craig, ABLS is a regional library of the Library of Congress. Please tell our listening audience a little about the history and formation of what is now known as ABLS.
Okay, well, here's a brief history of ABLS, or ABLS, as we sometimes like to call it. First off, we have to talk about NLS. NLS was founded on July 31st, 1931. So NLS is 92 years old at this date. ABLS is a regional library of NLS, which means we are one library for that program that covers our state, North Carolina. Almost every state has at least a regional library, so it's a national program, not just a state or local one. Ours was founded in September of 1958 as the NC Regional Library for the Blind, which was a co-work of the NC Lions and the Raleigh Lions Club. In September, we will be 65 years old. 1959 became part of the State Library of North Carolina. 1966, we changed our name from Library Just for the Blind to also include Physically Handicapped because NLS had done the same with the Pratt-Smoot Act, making more people eligible to read books and et cetera through our program. 1989, the Friends Group came along, which we have a wonderful Friends Group. If anybody wants to join or find out how to do that, we can tell you that as well. 1994, the library added descriptive videos, which is another nice offering. 97, our website, we put that online, and that's grown and expanded to show you all kinds of materials and services we have. 2000, we added an online catalog, which is a great way to order books and such, and also do self-service or search for books. 2006 is a banner year because that's the year we put in our two state-of-the-art digital recording studios. So that allowed us to be able to start recording books and magazines of local history, local authors, and local culture for North Carolina. And in 2022, we changed our name again from North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped to State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services, which is a mouthful. I apologize. We like ABLS. That's why we like ABLS. It's a much better name because it shows how we serve a much wider audience than we did before. We're not just focused on the blind. We're focused on all people that have print or reading disabilities. That's where we kind of focus.
Well, that was a brief history. Thank you. Okay. So, Catherine, since the name change, what else has changed at ABLS, and what special programs are available?
Well, right now it's actually easier for people with reading disabilities to apply for our program because the National Library Service has changed a rule that used to make it where someone had to have a medical doctor to sign up if you had a reading disability. But now people can sign up, people with reading disabilities, and get educators or social workers and other types of people from other professions to sign for that. And we also have more audiobooks. We used to get around 2,000 to 3,000 new audiobooks per year. Now we are getting, because thanks to a way NLS is getting more commercially produced books, audiobooks, we get about 9,000 audiobooks per year.
Fantastic.
So, and also, we have something, NLS is offering something called Braille on Demand, which is where Braille readers can actually request up to 5 Braille books per month from the National Library Service, and they can keep them. So that's pretty wonderful. And as for programs, actually just this past Saturday, February the 11th, as a part of our effort to bring in more youth to our program, we hosted the Eastern Braille Challenge, which is a Braille literacy competition for students from grades 1 through 12. And there's a national competition hosted by the Braille Institute in California for the finals. We've also had annual writing contests for patrons, summer and winter reading programs, And we've also had in-person programs such as a cooking program, music program, tactile tours at the North Carolina Museum of Art. And we've also had virtual programs like a series in we did in 2021 called History's Mysteries. So that's just some of what we've been doing.
Quite a lot. Okay. Now, are all these services free?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the criteria for this free service from the patrons?
Right. Basically, they're for people who are not able to read standard print, so that would be people with visual impairments. It can be people who have problems physically holding a book, for example, someone who maybe had a stroke or has Parkinson's disease, and also people with reading disabilities like dyslexia.
So, Craig, can you talk about the application process?
Okay. So to apply for service, it's pretty easy as long as you qualify, if you're eligible. Once that's in order, you fill out an application that's available from our website, or you can apply for on the Apply for Services page, or by contacting the library by phone or email. On our website, on the Apply for Services page, also shows you who qualifies and what's considered what we call a trusted authority, somebody who can sign who can sign an application for you should you need it. Once we have that all in order, then our public services staff will follow up directly with you and explain the services that we offer, set up your own personal account and with your preferences, and see how you want to be served. It's a very straightforward process.
That's terrific. How do people get there?
We're up Capitol Boulevard. So we're at 1841 Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh.
People need somebody to drive them.
They would either need to drive them or such. We can... But a lot of our patrons, what happens is we're not like a regular walk-in library typically. We're a closed collection. So the way we generally serve patrons is by telephone or by email or by using our online catalog to order their own materials, and we ship out. So it's kind of a shipping center as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. You have a lot to do in your role, I gathered, from everything that you take care of.
Yeah.
Would you tell us about the role as the patron and book database management system, the website, and all of the library technology?
Okay. So I've been at the library for 15 years. The book database management system, the patron and book database management system, allows us to track patrons, take care of their reading needs, and allow staff to do the same, to allow them to serve patrons. So I make sure that that all stays operable so that our library can function. It also helps us collect statistics and do all other kinds of library-related issues, related things, related business we need to do. I'm the webmaster, which means I take care of the website. I make sure everything is there is accurate and also accessible. We also have podcasts. I record one called Craig's Desk, which is on technology stuff to help patrons out better navigate our reading technology. I have a wonderful patron support assistant, Tawanda, who we hired over the last year or so. She's fantastic. She helps out with downloading of books and magazines for what's called the Braille and Reading Download Service from NLS, or known as BARD. I also end up teaching and training staff on how to use the different resources and helping to teach patrons. First and foremost of my job is to make sure you can get what you want to read, because I'm a librarian. That's first and foremost.
How many people are on this staff? 25 people to run the library.
We're fully staffed. We have a couple of openings right now, vacancies, but we hope to have those filled.
All right. You mentioned, Catherine, the Braille and audiobook program. Could you expand just a little bit on that?
Sure. Well, basically, we have the kinds of books that you would find in a really good public library. So mysteries, romances, biographies, science fiction, and so on. But the difference is that they're in Braille or audio or large print. And that's where, as Craig said, we mail them to people throughout the state. And we also have our BARD system where people can download books using an iPhone, a smartphone, and electronic devices.
Fabulous. That's wonderful. So we're kind of winding down now. Craig, can you tell me about how many people you serve, and what's the age range?
Oh, we have about 11,000 patrons, varying ages. We serve everyone from 3 years old to over 100. A little fact I learned before the program is our oldest patron is 108 years old. Our youngest is 3 years old. Lives out in the middle of the state. The person is 108. Their interests are probably like anybody else's, so we're a great public library for that. So, yeah, it's kind of a cool fact.
What does the three-year-old like to read?
The three-year-old, it's mainly just, there's easy reading books. I think they also do a bit of what's called print braille. It's a picture book with a braille overlay, that kind of thing. It's so they can learn. The advantage of that is that somebody can sit down, a sighted person can sit with somebody who is a braille reader or learning braille, and they can actually work together reading the book. So everybody can enjoy the book if you have a book like that. That's what's called a print braille kind of book. It has a picture and has an overlay. It has the text in large type, so you can actually enjoy the book together as, you know, a parent and a child or whatever, or a child can reach to their parent if they feel like it as well. It's kind of
nice.
Isn't
that fantastic?
It's pretty cool, actually, yeah.
Yes, it really is.
I think that technology has come so far in helping people who are blind and print impaired.
It has.
We're very happy that you were able to be here. You're really terrific guests, and I bet there's a lot of people out there who don't even know about this.
We think not. I mean, we think more people could benefit from the program if they, you know, they can contact us. If anybody wants to contact us, we are at 1841 Capitol Boulevard. Yep. I'm going to give you the phone number we have is for the local for Raleigh is 984-236-1100. For our toll-free number is 888-388-2460. The library's email address, if you want to email us, is ncabls@ncdcr.gov. That's ncabls@ncdcr.gov. Our website, you can Google search for NC Accessible Books and find us on the web. Off of the State Library's website.
Do you have a heartwarming situation with some patron that you've helped over the years, either one of you?
I had a person who was in their mid-90s in Cary who it took about, we spent, I think, 6 to 8 weeks together on phone calls talking about how to work with BARD, how to do downloads, because we were determined to help this person use the system because their family didn't think they could do it themselves. So this is a person who just wanted to be able to do it themselves, have some independence. So I worked with this guy for, I think, 6 to 8 weeks, just every day call back. And, Craig, what does this do? How do you do this? Oh, I'm here. I'd make them keep a list and keep notes, and they could just keep themselves going.
You both have very, very interesting and responsible positions at this library. You must absolutely adore books yourselves to be able to work so hard and diligently to help other people love books. Because I'm thinking that a blind or print impaired person may think that this is not a thing that they can do. Maybe hard enough just to navigate from the bedroom to the kitchen. But then again, you said, how many patrons do you have?
We have 11,000.
11,000 is a lot of people.
Yes.
It's fascinating to me because disabilities are hard to learn to live with. And the people that you serve, tell me somebody who's particularly appreciative of what you do.
Well, I can tell you that before my current job as director, I was in charge of the public service area. So I actually spoke to patrons on a daily basis, and there was hardly a week, or maybe even a day really, that went by that we did not have someone say to us, "I don't know what we would do without the service." So it really makes a difference in people's lives because it gives them ways to entertain themselves and to learn, and it really is a life-changing thing for people, and of all ages, but we talk to a lot of people on the phones, and they have some people know exactly what they want, and some people want us to help them find books that they like, and some of them will call back and say, oh, thank you so much. You've just found just the right book. I really love that, and I want more books by that author, and so on.
That's absolutely terrific.
It makes your day when you do that for somebody. When you help somebody find something to read, or you help them discover how to go somewhere or do something else that they couldn't do before, it's quite wonderful.
Yes.
Well, there's an old adage that says, if you've helped at least one person in your life, you have contributed to this world. Yeah. And you're helping so many others.
So I have one more story. It was this summer I had a woman call that she has been using our services, I think, for 30 years, 35 years. She's blind. But her husband thought, I'll never need that. I'll never use it. Her husband is started to go progressively low vision and refused to use it. He went into the hospital with a stroke, and she turned him on to using the books, and he's never looked back. So it was like he thought it couldn't apply to him, but he had a temporary blindness issue. But he's like, that's really been a great lifeline. I thought I would never use it. I thought my wife, you know, she loves it and she enjoys it, but I never thought it really had an influence on my life. And what's also cool is I found out from this person, their daughter became a librarian because her mom was worked with our service and seeing the impact in her dad. Her daughter is studying for a library science degree, so it's kind of
that should give you pride in the work you do.
Yeah. And actually, I can think of one other story recent that we heard from, I think it was the daughter of a patron, and he was in the hospital, and I think he was in a coma. And the nurse said, well, could you maybe bring something for him to listen to? And the next day after, you know, he was able to speak. So, I mean, it's really does
fantastic.
A lot for in many ways, you know, medically even.
Yeah, it says that, I've heard it's being said that the hearing is the last sense that gets lost. But if a person is in a coma, they can still hear. So the soothing voice of a storyteller could really do something, as it did in that case.
Right.
That's just wonderful. I'm very, very happy to hear this. And I think that our listeners will be very happy to hear that this is possible for those who thought, as the gentleman you spoke about, that it wasn't for them, but it is. So I just want to know, how are the parents of young children benefiting from this service? Are the parents able to come out of themselves and ask for help for their children?
There are parents who will apply for their children, and we have individual accounts for children, but we also have accounts with schools. So sometimes it's the teachers that we deal with who get, and then the school itself may have certain people, and they'll order Braille or audio or whatever. So it kind of depends on the situation. And we do have a summer reading program, so that we hope that encourages kids to listen and read during the summer and winter.
How about, we mentioned schools, how about the Governor Moorhead School? Are they involved? Are they a partner with you in some way?
Well, we have been working with them. We actually have a youth outreach committee right now, and one of our reader advisors is helping to establish a book group for the kids at Governor Moorhead School. And the plan is for her to go there and run the book discussion. So that, we do work with them. And they also, we worked with them through as we planned the Braille Challenge, the Eastern Braille Challenge, too. So we do work with them.
And they like, a lot of the students like our summer reading program, too, for youth and that
right.
kind of thing, too. And we've done events with them. So, and actually, at least a couple of our board members for the Friends Board are Governor Moorhead graduates, you know. So we have at least a few of them, too, that are part of, involved with the library now anyway as adults.
So one of your programs, it sounds like to me, you call it a discussion group. It's like a book club?
Right.
Yes.
It would be a book club.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Book discussion group, if you think of it that way.
Book discussion group. Okay. Yep. You've led them, right?
I have led them for adults. And we have actually two adult programs, book discussion groups. So we have one that's local to Raleigh and then one that's in Charlotte.
Yep.
Okay. So I want that our audience to know the most that we can about this system, because it impacts people from 3 to 106 or 5,
right?
Or that person.
Yep. Exactly.
So is there something that you didn't mention that you want to make our audience aware of?
We encourage you to come out, try our services. I think we could just hit more people. We're trying to grow our youth population more.
Right.
Because what happens, generally speaking, as we age, one of the senses go, a lot of our patrons are elder patrons that have other eye diseases and things at older age. We're trying to have a growing base of youth as well to involve and do a whole big sort of programs. The big thing for us has just been going out and doing these kinds of things.
So how else do you recruit young people?
Well, we have our outreach specialist, Clint Exum. He goes to places. He will speak to groups, and he'll go wherever people are interested and talk. He's gone to retirement communities and all kinds of places, and he'll also go to schools or any places where kids would be interested. And he's also gone to public libraries throughout the state.
Okay. Do you have any persons who are blind working with you?
We do, actually.
We do.
Yeah. Our patron support assistant, Tawanda Walters, she is blind. She uses JAWS to do her job, which is assistive technology to run the computer. She's really good. She was a patron of our program, and we gave her an opportunity for employment, which was wonderful. She had come to the library. My story with her is years ago, she would come into the library and she would do tutoring with certain people. She'd come use the public access computer there. We do have one public access computer that has assistive technology and things on it that can be used by the public, but it's one station. So Tawana is now working for us. She's doing BART support. She's doing all kinds of tasks for us. So she's been a wonderful person, and I would encourage anybody out there who is even thinking about hiring somebody who's blind or has any kind of other disabilities to do it. It's really wonderful. It enriches your staff. It enriches your place so much.
Absolutely.
Yes, it really has.
Well, I certainly want to thank you both for being here today and for enlightening myself as well as our audience, because I think it's a very important thing for people to know what you guys are doing.
Thank you very much for having us.
We appreciate you asking us to come.
Well, we've run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Sonia Usach-Kuhn for the North Carolina Reading Service. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.